Allahu ala Muhammad. And to continue with Kitab al-Tawheed, can anybody remember which chapter we had?
The name of the chapter? Thinking about worship being the first grace, what about the person who worships it? Near the grace, what about the person who worships it? Chapter 22,
I think. Chapter was it? ما جاء أن الغلو في قبور الصالحين يسيرها أوثانا تعبد من دون الله. That going beyond the limits, الغلو, with regard to the graves of the righteous, turns them into idols worshipped besides Allah. Anybody remember what the definition of وثن was? And the difference between وثن and صنم? A wathan is an idol, that which is worshipped besides Allah, and it is a general term covering anything that's worshipped besides Allah, whether it's in the form like a statue or something, or whether it's not, it's just something like a grave. Whereas a sanam is an idol, is more particular, is an idol in the form of a person or an animal or the like, shaped in a form. So every sanam is a wathan, but not every wathan is a sanam. And then we reach the part, the hadith of Ibn Abbas. Alhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم زائرات القبور والمتخذين عليها المساجد والسرج رواه أهل السنن. And from Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, who said Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed those women who visit the graves. He cursed those women who visit the graves. And those people who take mosques upon them and candles and light candles upon them. Reported by the authors of the Sunan. And this hadith is reported by Abu Dawud and At-Tirmidhi and An-Nasa'i and Ibn Majah. And as the person who did the footnotes mentions, it was declared weak by Imam Muslim. And it was declared weak also by Shaykh al-Albani. And the correct saying is that this hadith is da'if. With this full wording, this hadith is da'if, not authentic. And the reason for the weakness is the narrator from Ibn Abbas, from a tabi'een, the narrator directly from him, who was Ba'dhan Abu Salih, the Mawla of Umhani, bint Abi Talib. Ba'dhan, or some say Ba'dham with a meme, Abu Salih, the Mawla of Umhani, bint Abi Talib. Shaykh al-Albani said about this in his book Al-Da'ifah, Silsilat al-Da'ifah, and he is weak. This man Ba'dham, Abu Salih, is weak in the view of the great majority of the verifiers, of the checkers of hadith. Nobody declared him reliable except for Al-Ijli alone. As Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar said in his book At-Tahdhib, indeed, Ismail ibn Abi Khalid declared him to be a liar. And some of them declared him to be a mudallis, I mean a person who narrated from people he didn't directly hear from, and missing out the source he actually heard it from. And Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar said in his book, Taqrib al-Tahdhib, Da'ifun mudallis, weak and a mudallis. So Shaykh Albani declared this hadith to be weak, and in particular the first part, meaning that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the women who visit the graves with that wording. And as for the end part of the hadith, and those who take mosques upon them and light candles upon them, and Shaykh Albani mentioned that they are supports for that part of the hadith. And then the explainer in Fath al-Majid, we'll just take the first part of what he says. He says, and in this regard, there is also the hadith of Abu Hurairah and the hadith of Hassan ibn Thabit. As for the hadith of Abu Hurairah, then it's reported by Ahmad and at-Tirmidhi, who declared it sahih. And as for the hadith of Hassan, then it was reported by Ibn Majah, from the narration of Abdul Rahman ibn Hassan ibn Thabit from his father, with the wording, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the women who frequently visit the graves. La'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam zawwaratil qubur. So the hadith with that wording is declared authentic by Shaykh al-Albani, with that wording. Whereas the hadith that we have in front of us in the chapter here, and there's a subtle difference. The hadith of the chapter here, La'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam za'irat al-qubur. But Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the women who visit the graves. And as some of the explainers of that hadith mention, that refers even to a woman who visits once. That would apply to her. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam curse the women who visit the graves. So even if she was to visit a single time, then that would apply. But the hadith is not authentic, the hadith is da'if with that wording. So we have no need to go into explanation of it. And the authentic wording is from the hadith of Hassan ibn Thabit, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the women who frequently visit. La'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam zawwaratil qubur. And then, obviously the rest of the chapter is based on explanation of that hadith, accepting the hadith to be authentic, which we don't accept it to be authentic, so no need to go into great detail. But then just on the topic of visiting the graves, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he brings an important point, and he describes that visiting the graves falls into three categories. The first category is the visiting of the grave that is sunnah, is according to sunnah, and that is that men go to visit the graves in order to receive admonition, to take a lesson, meaning about death, to be reminded of death, and also to go to make supplication to Allah for the person who is in the grave, to make dua for him, to make dua to Allah, to benefit the person in the grave, to ask for his forgiveness and the like, to ask Allah to forgive that person, meaning. That is the visiting that is sunnah. The second kind is the visiting of the graves that is bid'ah, innovation. And he said that is visiting the graves in order just to go there and make dua at the graves. And we had that last time, that a person just goes to the graves thinking that that's the best place for me to make, or it's a very good place for me to make dua to Allah. If I want something from Allah and I want Allah to be more likely to answer it, I'll go to where there's a grave of a pious person and go and make dua there, and dua is more likely to be accepted there. That isn't innovation to do that. So the invited visiting is going there just because you want to make a dua to Allah, and you want to go there and recite Quran. Then that is not the place to go to recite Quran, and the like of that. This type of visiting is innovation. And the third type of visiting is the visiting that is shirk, that a person goes to the graves in order to make dua to the people in the graves. Not making dua to Allah, but making dua to those who are actually in the graves, the dead, and to seek your needs from them, and to ask them to relieve you of distress and the like. That visiting is shirk, major shirk. Then in the next few pages, the explainer of Fathul Majid, he brings across the view that it is not allowed for women to visit the graves at all. Based upon the first part of this hadith, La'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam za'irat al-qubur. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the women who visit the graves. So the explainer, accepting that hadith, and he brings quotes from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah to state that it is forbidden for women to visit the graves whatsoever. And just summarizing what he brings, because he brings about over 4 pages of it. Then those who allow women to visit the graves, and we'll take afterwards inshallah, Ibn Uthaymeen, he breaks it down into different sayings, what the scholars say about women visiting graves. He brings 4 different sayings. But here, the author of Fathul Majid, he is doing a rebuttal of the saying of those who say it is allowed for women to visit the graves, based upon a narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, that her brother Abdul Rahman, he died, and she wasn't present when he died, and so funeral prayer was said over him, and he was buried. So then when Aisha radiallahu anha reached where he was, she went to visit his grave, and she said that if I had witnessed your funeral, I would not have come to visit you. So some of the scholars say, so this shows that Aisha radiallahu anha, she visited the grave of her brother, which shows the permissibility of women visiting the graves. So here in the explanation, the explainer rebuts this. He said no, women are not allowed to visit, and he explains away any narration such as this. And also those who allow it, they bring a narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and in the authentic hadith, that I used to forbid you to visit the graves, but now visit them. Fazuruha, but now visit them. Then the explainer here, he holds on to the fact that it is not allowed for women to visit the graves, even so. And he rebuts these evidences brought by the others and with these, what can be summarized as follows. Firstly, he says, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I used to forbid you, كنت نهيتكم عن زيارة القبور, I used to forbid you from visiting the graves, فَزُورُوهَا, but now visit them. They say the address now visit them is in masculine form and is an address to men only, and it does not apply to the women. And they say the fact that it does not apply to women is because the saying فَزُورُوهَا has a command in it, so visit them now. Meaning it's recommended, you should. It's recommended that you visit the graves now. And they say, but none of the scholars, none of the famous imams in the past, ever said it was recommended for women to visit the graves. So in other words, so therefore this hadith cannot be applying to them. They're saying, so visit them, it can't apply to women, because none of the scholars ever said it was recommended for them to do so. Therefore this hadith, فَزُورُوهَا, So now visit them only applies to men. And they claim, the explainer claims that Aisha and the women of the Salaf had not used to hold it to be recommended to visit the graves. The second point they bring as an evidence is that they say that women, by their very nature, and as I said, I'm just summarising what comes in the footnote. This is the summary of what's in Fathul Majid. They say, secondly, women by their nature, if they go to visit graves, they tend to fall into doing prohibited things, like wailing and excessive weeping and so on. By their very nature, they generally fall into that. Even though there may be some exceptions, some women who can hold themselves, but the general nature of women, the general number of majority of women, when they go to visit graves, they become extremely upset, and they fall, therefore, they can't hold themselves, and they fall into weeping and crying and wailing and ripping at their clothes and the like. So therefore, the ruling applies, prohibiting all of them. And the third evidence, they say, the practice of Aisha radiallahu anha visiting the grave of her brother, this is the action of a companion, a female companion, and it cannot be used against the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what they say. Then Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, in his book, in his explanation, he says, so this hadith, I mean the hadith of the chapter, with either of its wordings that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade the women from visiting the graves, or with the authentic wording, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rather the first one was that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed the women who visit the graves, or with the authentic wording, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed those women who frequently visit the graves. Then Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, and in the hadith there is a proof that it is forbidden for women to visit the graves, and that this is one of the major sins. Obviously a proof that it's a major sin is because a curse has been mentioned for it, and wherever there's a curse mentioned for something, that it's not just a sin, it's a major sin by definition. He says, and the scholars differ about this matter, having three different sayings. The first saying is that it is prohibited, haram, forbidden, for women to visit the graves. Indeed, it is one of the major sins due to this hadith. The second saying, that it is disliked for women to visit the graves, with a dislike that does not reach the level of its being haram, forbidden altogether. And this is what is famous from the madhab of Imam Ahmad. That is what is well known from Ahmad through his students, due to the hadith of Atiyyah, who said that we were prohibited from following the funerals, but it was not totally prohibited for us. Reported by Al-Bukhari in the book of funerals and by Muslim. The third saying, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen says, the third saying is that it is permissible, it is allowed for women to visit the graves, due to the hadith of the woman who was there when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by her, and she was weeping at the side of a grave. So he said to her, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to this woman, ittaqillah wasbiri, have taqwa of Allah, fear and keep your duty to Allah, and have patience, bear it with patience. So the woman replied, go away from me, because you haven't been struck by the like of my misfortune. So then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam went away to depart from her. So somebody said to her, this is Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then she came to him making her excuses. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not accept her excuse. Rather, he said, "Innama sabru inda sadmatil ula." He said, "Patience is only when the misfortune first strikes." I mean, the time for patience, when patience is to be shown, is when the misfortune first hits. Hadith of Anas, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw her at the grave, at the side of the grave, and he did not forbid her from visiting that grave. Rather, he just commanded her to fear and keep her duty to Allah, and that she should have patience. And also, another evidence they bring to say it's allowed for women to visit graves is what occurs in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Aisha in the long hadith. And the hadith, we'll quote the full hadith later on, inshallah. But it's hadith that Aisha followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one night to the graveyard. And then when he came back, she came back and beat him back to the house. And she told him about what he asked, what she had done. She told him that she had followed him. And at the end of it, she asked him, "And what should I say? I mean, what should I say when I go near the graveyards or visit the graveyards?" So he told her, "Say, Assalamu alaykum ya ahl al-diyar min al-mu'mineen wal-muslimeen. May Allah protect you, O people of these homes," meaning the graves, "from the believers and the Muslims." So they say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith, he taught Aisha radiallahu anha the supplication to make when visiting the graves. And the fact that he taught her that shows that it is allowed for the woman to visit the graves. Then Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen says, "And I found a fourth saying." And this fourth saying is what is the saying of Shaykh al-Albani. He said, "A fourth saying, which is that the women's visiting the graves is sunnah, just like the men, due to the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 'I used to forbid you from visiting the graves, but now visit them, because they will remind you of the hereafter.'" The hadith of Buraidah, reported by Muslim. And they say this wording is general to men and women. And also due to the fact that Aisha radiallahu anha, she visited the grave of her brother. And when she did so, Abdullah ibn Abi Mulaika said to her, "Did not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid the visiting of graves?" So she replied, "But then he commanded it after that." Reported by Al-Hakim and Al-Bayhaqi, unauthenticated by some of the scholars. And then Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen brings what he holds to be correct in his view. He says, "And what is correct is the first view, that it is forbidden for women to visit the graves at all." The same as the explainer of Fathul Majid. Same view, it is forbidden for women to visit the graves. And then he responded to these evidences one by one. And whoever wishes can refer back to his responses. And just as a final point on that, what Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, said in his book, Ahkam al-Janaiz, The Rulings of the Funeral Prayer, then he said, point 116, "And women are the same as men with regard to the recommendation of visiting the graves, because of a number of angles. Firstly, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 'Fazuru al-qubur,' so visit the graves, because this is such that women enter into it." The command, visit them, women enter into it as well. And that is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he initially forbade the visiting of graves, then there is no doubt that prohibition covered the men and the women together. And so then when he said, I used to forbid you from visiting the graves, then it is to be understood that he meant, he used to forbid both men and women. So since that is the case, then when he says in the second part of the sentence, so now visit them, the same sentence, the second sentence of the same hadith, then likewise he meant to refer to both men and women. I mean, the prohibition, I used to forbid you, meaning men and women, that's agreed, it used to apply to men and women. So when he then says at the end, but now visit them, likewise that will apply to men and women. And then he says, because the hadith of Muslim brings this hadith with longer wording, and that is that he also said the same hadith of Buraydah, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the same hadith where he said, I used to forbid you from visiting the graves, but now visit them, he also said, and I used to forbid you from the meat of the sacrificed animals, from using them for more than 3 days, but now hold them for as long as you wish. And I used to forbid you from nabiv, dates soaked in water, unless it was in a water skin, but now drink from all water skins, but do not drink that which is an intoxicant. Sheikh Albani said, so the address in all of these things, meaning with regard to the graves and with regard to holding the sacrificed meat and with regard to drinking nabiv out of water skins, as long as it's not turned into an intoxicant, says the address in all of these refers to men and women without a doubt. And therefore the saying that so visit the graves, the saying that it refers only to men, would mean the proper order of speech is disrupted, meaning something, a prohibition applied to men and women, and then another prohibition to men and women, another prohibition to men and women, then to say no, but the allowance only refers to one, or one of the prohibitions refers to only one, he said, is a disruption of the proper order of speech, and this is not befitting the one who has been given comprehensive speech, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the one who spoke the most clearly with the letter God, who is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he says, and I will increase this in clarity by saying, and he gives further points why it applies also to women. The allowance to visit the graves also covers the women, he said, because secondly, that the women share with the men in the reason why it has been prescribed that we visit the graves, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it will make the heart tender, and it will make the eye weep, and it will remind you of the hereafter. Meaning that is something that is good, and it applies to men and to women, as long as it's within the limits. Then the third point, he says, thirdly, also because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed the women to visit the graves in two other ahadith, which the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu anha, preserved for us. He says, firstly, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abi Mulaika, which came before, we had it before, that Aisha came back one day from the graveyard. So I said to her, Abdullah ibn Abi Mulaika said to her, O mother of the believers, where have you come from? She said, from the grave of Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr. So I said to her, did not Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid the visiting of graves? She said, yes, but then he commanded that they be visited. And in another wording from her, that she said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed visiting the graves, reported by Al-Hakim and Al-Bayhaqi. And the other narration is from, reported by Ibn Majah, and it is sahih, declared sahih by some of the scholars and agreed to by Shaykh Al-Albani. And the second evidence from her, he said, and this is a long hadith, the hadith of Muslim, from Muhammad ibn Qais ibn Makhrama ibn al-Mutallib, that he said one day, shall I not narrate to you a narration from me, from my mother? The sub-narrator said, so we thought he was going to narrate from the mother who gave birth to him. But he said, Aisha said, meaning the mother of the believers, Aisha said, shall I not narrate to you something from me, from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So we said, yes indeed. So she said, and here follows the hadith of Muslim. She said, when it was my night in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to spend with me, he turned to the side and he put off his upper garment, his rida. He put off his rida and he took off his shoes and placed them next to his feet, and he spread out the edge of his izar, his lower wrapper. He spread that out on the bed and then he lay down. So he waited until he thought that I had gone to sleep, and then he slowly took his rida, his upper wrapper, and he slowly put on his shoes, and he carefully opened the door and went out, and carefully and slowly closed the door. She said, so then I put on my gown, placing it over my head, and covered my head up, and covered myself with my wrapper, and then I went off to follow him until he went to the al-Baqi, the graveyard. So he stood there, and he stood for a long time, and then he raised up his hands and did it three times, and then he turned back. So I turned back, and he hurried, so I hurried, and he ran, so I started to run, and he came back, and I came back, and I beat him. So I entered. So all I had time for was just to quickly lie down. So he entered, and he said, Ma laki ya Aish, what is with you, O Aisha? Are you out of breath? I said, or he said, why? I want to know why she was out of breath. She said, I said, for nothing, O Messenger of Allah. He said, you will certainly inform me, or the all-aware, the knower of all secret things will inform me. She said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, may my father and mother be a ransom for you. Then I told him what had happened. He said, so you were the form which I saw in front of me? I said, yes. So he struck me with the flat of his palm in my chest and caused me some pain. Then he said, did you think that Allah and His Messenger would deal with you unjustly? She said, whatever the people hide, Allah knows it. He said, yes. He said, then Jibreel came to me when you saw me, and he called me, but he hid it from you. So I responded, and I kept it hidden from you, and he would not enter upon you whilst you had removed your clothing, and I thought that you were asleep. So I hated that I would waken you, and I feared that I would frighten you. So he said, meaning Jibreel, your Lord commands you that you go to the people of Baqi, the people in the graveyard, in the graves, and that you ask for forgiveness for them. She said, so I said, then what should I say, O Messenger, or what should I say for them? كَيْفَ أَقُولُ لَهُمْ, what should I say for them, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah? He said, قُولِي, say, السَّلَامُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الدِّيَارِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمِينَ وَيَرْحَمُ اللَّهُ الْمُسْتَقْدِمِينَ مِنَّا وَالْمُسْتَأْخِرِينَ وَإِنَّا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ لَلَاحِقُونَ. But may Allah preserve you, O people in the graves, from the believers and the Muslims. May Allah have mercy upon the ones who die early on and the ones who die later. And we will, if Allah wills, join you. Reported by Muslim, and the wording is his and others. So Shaykh Albani said, so Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar in his book at Talkhis, he uses this hadith as a proof that it is permissible for women to visit the graves, and that is what is clearly shown by it. And it adds to the fact that the allowance to visit the graves covers them along with the men, because this story definitely happened in Medina. Obviously Al-Baqi is in Medina. And due to what is known, that the Prophet ﷺ entered upon Aisha in Medina. And that prohibition of visiting the graves was in Mecca. Shaykh Albani said this, that we clearly state that that prohibition referred to Mecca. And he gives his reasons why. He said because that was the place where the Aqidah was firmly implanted in the people, and no rulings came down, or hardly any rulings came in Mecca except Tawheed. And so this matter, a matter of going visiting the graves, is closely connected with Tawheed, as we've seen from the chapters here. So Shaykh Albani establishes from that, that that prohibition of visiting the graves must have come in Mecca. And the allowance is clearly shown here as coming in Medina later on. Then Shaykh Albani brings a fourth evidence to show it's allowed. He said, the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed the woman whom he saw at the side of the grave in the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet ﷺ passed by a woman who was at the side of a grave and she was weeping. So he said to her, ittaqillah wasbiri, have taqwa of Allah and have patience. Reported by Al-Bukhari and others. And Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar said about that hadith in Fathul Bari, the way in which this hadith is a proof is that the Prophet ﷺ did not criticize that woman for sitting at the side of the grave. And the fact he allowed that is a proof. And Al-Aini said in his book Al-Umda, it contains the permissibility of her visiting the grave altogether. Or it contains a permissibility of visiting the grave altogether, whether the one visiting is a man or a woman, whether the one being visited in the grave is a Muslim or a kafir, because there's nothing to distinguish in that. And then An-Nawawi said, and with the permissibility of that, the great majority of scholars have stated it to be so. Then Shaykh Albani says, so from what the hadith shows is that it is permissible for women to visit the graves. That is clearly to be understood from the hadith. And he discusses that slightly, and then as a final point, he makes as a final point of reminder, he says, point 117, however, it is not allowed for the women to frequently visit the graves and to go backwards and forwards a lot to the graves, because that will lead them into things prohibited in the legislation, such as ending up screaming and revealing themselves and taking the graves as just sitting places and places for recreation, and wasting time in useless speech, as is frequently seen today in some Islamic lands. And that is what is meant, insha'Allah, by the famous hadith, La'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa fi lafzin la'ana Allahu zawwaratil qubur. That Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in one wording, Allah, cursed those women who frequently visit the graves. Shaykh Albani said this is reported from a group of the companions, Abu Hurairah and Hassan ibn Thabit and Abdullah ibn Abbas. He summarizes it, bringing a saying from Al-Qurtubi and Al-Shawkani, likewise saying it is permissible for women to visit, and that what is meant is frequently visiting. That is what is not allowed. Wallahu a'lam. Then just back to the end of the chapter in Fathul Majid, because there's no other narrations brought in the chapter. He ends the chapter up returning, after dealing with the topic of women visiting graves, and as we heard, the author of Fathul Majid holds it not to be permissible for women to visit. And then he returns back to the topic of visiting the graves in general. He said, and Muhammad ibn Ismail as-San'ani, rahimahullah, said in his book, تطهير الاعتقاد. Because these tombs and these shrines have become the greatest cause leading to shirk and to apostasy, and have become the greatest means leading to the demolition of Islam and to its destruction. And those who are in charge of them are mostly, or indeed always, the kings and the rulers and the leaders and those in authority. Whether the deceased one in the grave, whether the deceased in the grave is a near relative of theirs, or is just someone whom they have good thoughts about, being a noble person or a scholar or a Sufi or a poor person or a big sheikh. So then, what happens with the person who's died and has been put in the grave? He says, so what happens is that people come to visit him initially. The initial stage of it is that people come to visit him in the usual manner of visiting the graves, without seeking to use him as a means of nearness to Allah, and without calling out his name. Rather, they come and they make dua for him, and they ask Allah to forgive him, until such a time comes about that most of those who actually knew the deceased person die. They actually die. Time goes on till this famous person or this sheikh, whoever it is in the grave, most of the people who actually knew him, they die away. And then after them, there comes a people who build over his grave and place place candles around it, and place expensive carpets to adorn it, and hang curtains around it, and place flowers and things around it. And then a person comes, or people come at that stage, thinking that all of this was done because the one in the grave was able to bring people benefit or to repel harm from them. And the custodians, but because by that stage they have custodians, people in charge of looking after that shrine, said, and the custodians there, the sadhana, they start to tell lies upon the deceased person. And they start to say he did this and he did that, and he harmed so-and-so, and he brought benefit to so-and-so, to such an extent that they implant every false and futile lie into people's minds. And this affair is just as is established in the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it is cursed for those who light candles at the graves and write upon them and build upon them, are cursed. And the ahadith in that regard are widespread. So this in itself is prohibited. And then it leads on to the greatest of all corruptions. From the book Tathir al-I'tiqad by As-San'ani. Then the explainer says, and so through this point here, you will see how the hadith agrees with the chapter heading. How just a normal person dies in the grave, or a normal righteous person dies in the grave, and what happens afterwards stage by stage until shirk occurs. Then with regard to the final issues at the end of the chapter, briefly, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen says, and it's only brief at the end, the points at the end, says, the chapter contains further issues. Firstly, tafsir al-awthan, an explanation of what is meant by awthan. And awthan being the plural of wathan, it is everything, kullu ma ubida min dunillah, sawa'un kana sanaman aw qabran aw ghayra. A wathan is everything which is worshipped besides Allah, whether it be a statue or a grave or anything else. Secondly, so anything that is worshipped besides Allah is covered by the term wathan, the term that occurred in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, Allahumma la taj'al qabri wathanan yu'bad. Oh Allah, do not make my grave an idol that is worshipped. The second point, of the second further issue, tafsir al-ibadah, an explanation of what is worship. He says, وَهِيَ التَّذَلُّلْ وَالْخُضُوءُ لِلْمَعْبُودِ خَوْفًا وَرَجَاءً وَمَحَبَّةً وَتَعْظِيمًا. It means, worship means humility and submission to the one who is worshipped, having fear and hope and love and respect, due to the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith, لَا تَجْعَلْ قَبْرِي وَثَنًا يُؤْبَدْ. Do not make my grave an idol that is worshipped. So whenever you, in other words, whenever you see someone before a grave showing humility with their head down and so on, so on, so on, then what they're doing like this, in a case like this, is that they're worshipping it. The third further issue, أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يستعذ إلا مما يخاف وقوعه, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not seek refuge except from something which he feared would occur. Sheikh, and the Sheikh said, this is taken from his saying, Allahumma la taj'al qabri wathanan yu'bad. Oh Allah, do not make my grave an idol which is worshipped. Meaning he feared that that would happen, and therefore he sought Allah's refuge from it. The fourth issue, قَرْنُهُ بِهَذَا اتِّخَاذَ قُبُورِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ مَسَاجِدِ. The fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taking the graves as places of prayer, taking the graves as places where prayers are said. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam joined these two things together. One follows on from the other. Taking, meaning taking the graves as places of prayer, is joined along with that grave becoming an idol. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam joined them together as being the same thing in the hadith. The fifth point of benefit, ذِكْرُ شِدَّةَ الْغَضَبْ مِنَ اللَّهِ, a mention of Allah's having severe anger. Ibn Uthaymeen said, this is to be taken from his saying, اشْتَدَّ غَضَبُ اللَّهِ, Allah's anger becomes severe. And then Ibn Uthaymeen brings an important point of aqeedah, which is affirmation of al-ghadab, anger, for Allah in reality, an affirmation of true and real anger for Allah. However, it is just the same as the rest of his attributes, or the rest of his actions, rather. He said it's just the same as the rest of his attributes that are actions, which we know the meaning of them. We know the meaning of them, but we do not know their kayfiyyah. We do not know how they are. And then he brings another important point concerning Allah's anger. He said, and Allah's anger is of levels, as is established in the authentic hadith, the hadith of intercession, reported by Al-Bukhari, number 4712, in the book of Tafsir, Tafsir of Surah Al-Isra, that the Prophet sallallahu, in the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about what will happen on the day of resurrection, and in it is the wording, Inna Rabbi ghadib al yawma ghadaban lam yaghdab mithlahu qablahu wala ba'da. He's saying that my Lord has become angry today with such an anger that he never became angry with before nor after. So Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen uses this to establish that Allah's anger is of levels. The sixth point of further issue, وَهِيَ مِنْ أَهَمِّهَا مَعْرِفَةُ صِفَةِ عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ الَّتِي هِيَ مِنْ أَكْبَرِ الْأَوْثَانِ. He said the sixth point, and it is the most important of them, knowledge of the description of the worship of Allah. How was the worship of Allah, in other words? What is this worship of Allah, who was one of the greatest of the idols? And Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, and this is explained in his saying, فَمَاتَ فَأَكِفُوا عَلَى قَبْرِهِ. He was a righteous man. He died, and people started to devote themselves to his grave. I mean, that is the worship. They're devoting themselves, sitting around his grave. That was their worship. The seventh point, ma'rifatu annahu qabru rajulin salih, awareness of the fact that it was the grave, this famous idol, alert, it was the grave of a righteous man. That's what it was. It wasn't just some little idol they'd made and put there. No, it was an actual grave. A grave of a righteous man. The Shaykh said, and this is to be taken from the saying, and he was a man who used to mix gruel for people making Hajj. He was a people honoured and respected by them. And what is usually the case is that a person will not be respected and honoured unless he is a person of the religion. The eighth point of benefit, أَنَّهُ اسْمُ صَاحِبِ الْقَبْرِ وَذِكْرُ مَعْنَى تَسْمِيَةٍ. The eighth point is that name, alert, this idol, alert, what is that name? He said, it was the name of the person who's buried in that grave. And a mention of the meaning of that name. And Ibn Taymiyyah said, and it was that he used to mix gruel, he did lat, mean mixing gruel, barley and water, he mixed it together and fed the people with it. That's how he got the name. The ninth point, la'nahu zawaratil qubur, the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to curse the women who frequently visit the graves. And there's another point here that Ibn Taymiyyah brought earlier on. If it's mentioned as being a curse from Allah, Allah's curse, then Allah's curse means removing a person from Allah's mercy. Allah's cursing someone means Allah's removing that person from His mercy and keeping them far away from His mercy. That's what, if Allah has cursed someone, la'anahu Allah, it means Allah's removed that person from His mercy and kept them far from His mercy. And Ibn Uthaymeen said, and if it's a statement that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed somebody, then what is meant by that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made supplication that Allah should do that to a person, that Allah should remove him, or Allah has removed him from His mercy and kept him far from that. So the ninth point, the fact that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed those women who frequently visit the tombs, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed them. And the author mentions zawaratil qubur, bearing in mind, he said, the other wording, and this is the authentic wording, as we heard before. The tenth and final benefit, la'nuhu man asrajaha, that he cursed those who light candles upon the graves. And this is to be taken from his saying, وَالْمُتَّخِذِينَ عَلَيْهَا الْمَسَاجِدَ وَالسُّرَجِ, and those who take mosques upon them and candles. And then Ibn Uthaymeen says, and there is a very important point here which was not mentioned, and it is that ghulu, going beyond bounds with regard to the graves of the righteous, turns them into idols, just as occurred with the grave of the man alert. It became an idol due to this excessiveness. And this is one of the most important of all matters. And the author, rahimahullah, did not mention it. Perhaps he was sufficed with the fact that he quoted that as a chapter heading. He put it as a chapter heading, so he thought he didn't need to bring it here as a further issue as well. So if that is said, then that is one aspect that is possible. And then the last point he brings, Ibn Uthaymeen brings a point of benefit. He said, question, a woman, I was talking about a woman who's in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, if she goes to the rawda, the area between the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his minbar, if she can get into that area, and the only time they let women in, as far as I know, is on Jumu'ah, in the afternoon on Jumu'ah, they let women into that area. So the Shaykh said, if the woman gets into that area, the rawda, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described as being a garden from the gardens of paradise, he said, if she gets into that area to pray there, and then the grave will be near her, I mean it will be close to her left hand side, so that she is able to stand and give salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, then there is nothing to stop that. And what is better though is for her to keep far away from crowding any crowds, and from mixing with men. and in order, she should keep away from that, in order that nobody who witnesses her should think that it is allowed for the woman to deliberately go to visit the grave. And then other people might fall into something prohibited. And the fact is that a person can give salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that salam will reach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wherever the person is. Meaning, wherever on the earth somebody sends salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that will reach him. You don't have to be next to the grave, just wherever you are upon the earth. Wallahu a'lam. Alhamdulillah. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any quick clarifications before Maghrib comes along?
There's a hadith in there which I can't remember the hadith, but it says in that hadith it doesn't make no distinction between the man and the woman, so it's permissible for you to go to the path. No, it says in the hadith that was mentioned, it mentions that it didn't make no distinction between the person being a believer or a kafir.
Yeah.
So it would be allowed for you to go to either grave.
Yeah.
But it's not. Is it, was that mentioned to do with the du'a as well? Or
no. With regard to the point in the lesson that Sheikh Al-Albani mentioned it, he said that, he quoted from someone else, that there's no distinction between men and women with regard to visiting the graves, even if the grave is the grave of an unbeliever. What Sheikh Al-Albani does mention somewhere in the same chapter, he mentions the point that the distinction is there. If you go to the grave of a Muslim, then there's two reasons why you can visit the grave of a Muslim. One is that you're reminded of yourself of the hereafter, that the hereafter is close, and that the person in that grave, he was once alive walking on the earth, and suddenly is dead. And likewise, the same can happen to us. And that should be a reminder to us to see in the grave. It should remind us that this life just passes quickly. And that should remind us about the hereafter. So that's the first reason you can visit. And that's with regard to the grave of a Muslim, or even if you see the grave of a kafir, the same lesson can be drawn. That these people were once alive on the earth, and now look, they're dead underneath the ground. And the second point you go for is to make dua for them, to ask Allah to forgive them. Then this is particular to the Muslims. You go and ask Allah to forgive the Muslims and give salam to, you know, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith that we heard, give salam for them. This is particular to the Muslims and does not apply to the kafirs. We're not allowed to go and ask for forgiveness for them or make dua to Allah for them for anything whatsoever. Not at all. That applies only to the believers. Yeah, as the brother said, as occurred in Silsila before, rather what is upon us is that we go and we give them tidings of the hellfire. As occurred in the authentic hadith, that one of the companions said that the Prophet placed a heavy duty upon me, that I would not pass by the grave of any mushrik except that I would give him tidings of the hellfire. And that came in Silsila before.
Should remove him from his mercy
and take him far away from that. Remove him far away. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.